Afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today we have two guests, Guy Gormley and Tom Bush from Top Nice. Good afternoon.
Hello.
What was that we just heard?
That was the Westmoreland Waltz,
right?
Which is by Rap, which is the band which the two of us comprise.
Okay, and you guys are part of a sort of collective or group or ensemble, I think you called it.
Rap is it's just us, but then with a group of other people in London and in Stockholm,
right?
We have a group called Top Nice, which is more involved in making parties and events and things like that.
Right. And I think I met you, Guy, at the Artist Book Fair, didn't I, in the Turbine Hall at Tate Offspring. Modern, which was thousands of people selling artist books. And
that's right.
You had an intriguing stand in one corner, which was sort of almost like a living room, I think. It had bits of furniture and boxes. It looked different.
Yeah, I sort of thought of it like a sort of teenager's bedroom or something like that.
Right.
I kind of have, some way of collecting things anyway, and have sort of built up this archive of friends' music, and a lot of it I think is really good. And so when I was asked to do the book fair by Editions Lutony, I thought maybe I could share some of that stuff and use it as a way to put some of this stuff in front of people that maybe wasn't already.
Right. So what is Top Nice again? I mean, you're a distributor, or you run clubs, or
as a club night, just like dance party.
Yeah.
And
how long have you been doing it?
Well, the first one was 10 years ago.
All right.
Is that right? In Soho.
Okay.
And then Tom and Humpus and me, actually, we all met at Brighton University. And then shortly afterwards, I dropped out and went back to London, and I started getting bookings, or like being asked to have to put on club nights in London through friends and stuff, and we'd get them to come up and we'd do it as Top Nice.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then since then it's kind of grown and become.
But how did you sort of get into it? Were you DJing, or you just liked music and started to play records for other people, or you kind of how did you start?
I guess you had ambitions as a DJ. Hampus, he's in Stockholm now, but he had been more actively DJing before he moved to Brighton. And so I suppose he had a bit more knowledge than us,
and kind of got us excited about finding records and stuff. He would go to the charity shops on like the far reaches of town, and like go to like had like particular spots where he could find certain kinds of music, and would come back and bring these records to halls of residence and like play them in the kitchen for people.
Right.
And he also ran a club called the Pre Club, which I think it ended at 9 in the evening, started at 6, and by 9 o'clock everyone would be dancing. And he was quite an influential character, I think, for us in terms of.
What's his name?
Hampus Larsson.
Hampus Larsson. Okay, so he's Swedish.
Yeah.
And he's in Sweden now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, there are other Swedes involved? You've got like 10 people over there, you think you said, or?
Yeah, well, because he moved back to Sweden after he'd been doing Top Nights in London for about 4 years, then he moved back and with other friends there, continued having parties in there. So for quite a long time, we were simultaneously having parties in London and Stockholm, monthly.
Right.
And then...
So was it... Do the parties run together? Is that part of the thing?
We'd always hoped that we could do one where we'd have some kind of live stream from one to the other.
Concurrent parties, yeah. Right.
But more or less in the same sort of rhythm. But then, because the licensing laws in Sweden are so much stricter than here,
uh-huh.
And the police are much more severe on... Well, it's getting... The situation has changed here since then, but then in Stockholm it was much. They were running nights which were in unusual situations, like in rehearsal rooms or just spaces. But they were basically the only parties doing that for a while, and so it grew quite big quickly. And then they had their own venue for a while, the studio space out in this slaughterhouse area where they had parties as well.
Right.
Which since then has become like a clubbing district, but it was a bit as these things go, I suppose.
Yeah. So there is a sort of an illegal element to this.
Well,
it's not consciously. It's not an idealistic stance or something. It's more like we want to do something, and then if there isn't a way to do it with the proper licenses and stuff, I suppose we do it another way.
Right.
I suppose
so. It's like a sort of floating club. Then it's like a club.
Yeah, we're always moving spaces and finding ways to do things, make things happen.
Right. And what kind of size of participants do you get for these events?
Well, we do. At the moment, we're doing like a residency at a really lovely little club in Hackney, which is a capacity of about 100 to maybe around 120 or something. And then
can you name it, or is it secret?
No, it's called. it's called 77 Social Club.
Right.
And they all call it Seven, so I think is a nice nickname.
Yeah, it's like a reggae club in the basement of a Caribbean restaurant.
Okay.
So it's a basement space. It's been a club for 40 years. I think the architecture hasn't really changed in that time.
Right.
It's a really great space, isn't it?
Do you tend to... I mean, the fact that you were at the Artist Book Fair, do you tend to choose kind of music by artists, or is that not the way... they're like artist records, or is it? Well, does it not matter?
You mean like when I DJ or...
Well, whenever. Or, I mean, are they like... Is it sound artists' music, if you like, or is it just music generally that you just happen to like? Or
do you mean at Top Nights, or like
anywhere, any of it? I mean, the ones I got from you,
yeah.
I bought some and played them, which were both great. I mean, one was called the John Parry Orchestra, and then the other one, which it was so it was slow something rather.
Yeah, it was a slow house mixtape.
Slow house
by Paul B. Davis. Yeah.
Right. But they are musicians, not artists?
In both cases, they're both artists and musicians.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know so much about John Parry himself, but that record came through Andy Holden, who is a musician, record label owner and artist.
Right.
He gave it to me to put in the store. And Paul is an artist, lecturer and producer, and also like trained musician.
Right. And your own background is you've been to Goldsmiths?
Yeah. I trained. I did fine art at Goldsmiths, but I've been making music kind of with computers for about 10 years, and DJing for a bit longer than that.
Okay, so what were you at Goldsmiths? You were what studying?
I did fine art, the BA,
painting, sculpture, whatever.
I was all making all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've always done a lot of photography.
Okay. What about you, Tom? You an artist of?
I think we all have quite broad practices where music crosses over with some kind of visual form. Like I do all the design for the things in London, and I work doing graphic design and music videos for.
Oh, really?
That's sort of a
okay.
With Hampus, who was the one who's in Stockholm, and another friend there.
Right.
So the Top Nice entity crosses over with lots of smaller entities within it.
Right,
which are either bands or some kind of art practice,
or other record labels as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good friends who are still in Top Nice have a label in Stockholm called Born Free, and a lot of the acts or music that comes out of people associated with Top Nice is released through that label.
Okay.
Yeah, but going back to your question of how we choose music, I think Top Nice itself is dance orientated. Like, so it's the genre is not specific, but generally the music is that someone could dance to it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. The John Parry thing was very. I mean, I liked it. So it's very sentimental, very kind of moving music.
I would say that isn't necessarily something that would get played at Top Nice. It was more this artist, Andy Holden, is someone that me and Tom have worked with on various projects, and we invited him to give us things that he thought were good. It's more representative of his taste, really,
okay.
That particular record.
Should we play something? Do you want to play something that is typical or untypical?
Well, we thought maybe we'd start with what me and Tom have been doing like the last few weeks, which is working on material for our band, which is called Rap.
Is that the name of your band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was the song we played at the beginning.
Right, right.
Is the...
Yeah. So what have we? What should we play?
Well, I could play another one.
Is this off the laptop?
Yes.
Okay. What does it have a title?
It has a working title.
Does it not matter?
Yeah, I don't really like the working title, so let's just leave it untitled.
Okay. Bit of railway at the end, very brief, very subtle.
Yeah, there's quite a lot of railway in this band.
Is there?
Yeah.
What, in the band?
Well, yeah, sort of railway. Not about trains as such, but about the bridges and things.
It's causing much mirth. This subject of bridges and railways. What's this joke? There must be some in joke here.
The songs are sort of embarrassingly teenage, I think, in a way for us. Some of them touch on kind of teenage things, and they're quite kind of playful. And some of the references are a bit stupid.
Is that because they're pitched at teenagers?
It's weird.
You don't want to grow up?
I don't really know. Something's going on anyway. Yeah.
We don't. Okay. So railways is a recurring motif.
Well, yeah. It's more some sort of processing of this sort of semi-fictional provincial teenage life in England. How the spaces that you can occupy tend to be those sort of liminal ones, like under railway lines or around or in these sort of scrubby areas,
right?
Which I think is this is maybe how we became friends, that we both had a fondness for like scrubby urban areas.
Okay.
Which there aren't many of those in Brighton, actually.
Right.
Slim pickings.
Yeah. Well, I didn't grow up in Brighton.
How you spend time, you know, wandering around scrubby areas? It's like
we both do spend some time doing that.
Any particular scrubby area? You're based in Hackney? You live in Hackney?
Guy lives in Hackney, yeah. I live in Peckham. But there are... Hackney is which once was very rich in the scrubby areas is now getting quite limited, really.
I'll bet, yeah. Every square inch being built on, I suppose. Yeah.
When we're writing these songs, I'm thinking mostly of, because I grew up in the West Midlands and
whereabouts?
Kidderminster.
Oh, okay. I'm from Leicester.
All right. Yeah.
So East Midlands.
East Midlands. So, yeah. But okay. I think they'll be comparable sort of spaces, our thematics for this group, this band we have,
right?
Which is what it is like growing, like being a teenager in these towns.
So you project this side. It's like you're imagining some other person living in a scrubby environment. But
it's not all scrubby. That was just that song. But
right. But is that typical? I mean, you kind of is this a genre? You kind of this.
I think rap is sort of where me and Tom's interest in music kind of cross over. I think we're both very quite interested in
when you say rap, that's the name of this
band.
Group. Yeah. So it's not to particularly to do with rapping or something.
No, not yet. No, there's no rapping in there.
No.
In the music. But I think...
Okay.
It's quite interesting why the music always seems to have this certain tone and a certain sort of focus. It always has a slightly kind of... It's almost like pastoral or something, or concerns with maybe with the countryside, or at least like suburbia, and like the edges of things. And I think that we all use personal stories and then they go through this sort of rap filter.
Right.
And it's become, because we've been doing it for about 10 years or something, or maybe slightly less, maybe I don't know, 8 or 9 years, but over that time the sort of stage that rap is set on has become quite clear, and it's like there's a sort of fantasy town called Westmoreland comes up in the songs. And
I thought that existed. There isn't.
Yeah, but not our one.
There is one. There was one, probably two.
I think maybe in the UK.
Yeah. Well, it's an area in Cumbria.
Cumbria, exactly. Yeah.
But it's not actually a town. It's more like a district within Cumbria.
But like sort of Camelot or something. it sounds like an ideal sort of.
In that tape that you saw on the inside cover, there's like a map of
this.
Oh, really?
This town.
Oh, right. Okay. We are now opening the cassette case. Ah, right. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Ah, so I'm now looking at this. Is it? This is entirely fictitious.
Well, there's.
Well, it's a very detailed diagram. It looks a bit medieval. It has to be said. I mean, in its style of the graphic style, which is you're the graphic designer, so you've done this.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think the Westmoreland that I'm familiar with from a very old jigsaw puzzle that I used to have had an E in it. It was Westmoreland. Yours is Moreland.
Mm.
Okay. Because I had one which was like the counties of England, which included sort of strange counties like Flint, which don't exist anymore.
And where was Flint?
I can't remember. Mm. It was sort of on the Welsh border, I think, but it was like Rutland and things. Yeah. It sort of puts me in mind of that sort of thing. But so all songs written and performed by T. Bush and G. Gormley. So you two are the entire ensemble of rap.
Yes. Yeah?
Going for 10 years. Okay. no, fine. And what do you you've got stuff on a variety of formats. We've got cassette, vinyl, CD, laptop. Do you get the stuff out there? Does it go, do you distribute it, or is it sort of pretty much on a homemade basis?
Well, they're all different, but Top Nice as an entity, we've started releasing records through Top Nice, which are distributed properly.
Okay.
And so we've got, there's three of those. There was the first one was Paul B. Davis, who's now presents Mr. 100. Which is that one you got queued up there?
Right. When you say he presents it, how do you mean? That's the
That was his first record under this new name,
right?
Which is now what he goes by is Mr. 100 for this particular music. This is like this soca techno hybrid music, which he was the one who also that's the slow house mix you played previously.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was his introducing of this identity of Mr. 100.
Right.
So that's him presenting himself.
Okay, okay.
And the second release was one of Guy's. Guy goes under the name Enchante as...
Enchante?
Yeah.
Enchanted?
Yeah.
Okay. But without the accent.
Okay. Yeah, it's
really,
nice.
Right. So really crucial.
Okay.
All right. Crucial mistake.
That's all right.
And then the third one was this one, Special Occasion, which is...
Oh, yeah, I think I got one of those, actually. I haven't. Yeah. I don't think I've played that. Maybe I have.
Maybe this is a good time to play it.
That's you, isn't it?
That's me.
on the cover. Right. So what should we play next?
Well, I think it would be quite good to play that one, actually.
Should we play this?
Play the A-side of that one.
Of Special Occasion?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to... tempted to say talk amongst yourselves, but you can't really do that. I'll just plonk that over there. Does that matter if I put it
on
there?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Is this a 45 RPM?
That's
so this is a 45 RPM single?
Yeah, so the A side is the other side.
Oh,
I think
sorry.
Confusing.
Okay. And do you, people, is it distributed through Rough Trade or something like that? Or
distributed by Kudos. Yeah.
Kudos. Okay. And at 45, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Driving me round the bend, confusion. I can't stop loving you.
Confusion by Special Occasion on the Top Nice label, 2013. So that's you, Guy Gormley, and
David Gray.
David Gray.
Yeah.
So you've moved from one band outfit to another. You're kind of a floating performer.
Well, I'm not. I suppose maybe I'm the opposite of a performer in that I kind of like to collaborate with people who are. Who have like another kind of voice that I don't have, I suppose. So with Dave, he plays trumpet and sings,
right?
And has this other way of thinking about music, and I think he thinks so much in melody, kind of thing, and has a real ear for it. And I find that in a lot of my collaborations, I'm kind of learning from the people that I'm making music with because I'm entirely untrained
and music. Didn't come very naturally to you.
Thanks, Tom.
But you had to work you worked a lot on it.
Yeah. So music's always been like this sort of thing that it fascinates me, and it's always stayed very difficult kind of thing. And I suppose that keeps it really.
How do you mean it's difficult?
I don't understand it sort of thing. It feels kind of mysterious to me.
Right.
And it's like a song is always like a puzzle. But it keeps it very interesting. And then when I work with other people, I always feel like I have loads to learn from them. So, and I work with other people a lot, and hopefully in the show I'll play like, I maybe have four quite developed projects. Usually it's just one other person. I have a studio that I've had for a long time in Hackney, and people, that's kind of like a base, and people can come to the studio and work on things. And there's kind of time and space there. And usually a project happens over a few years, and that gives it time to have some depth, and try and kind of develop like a language around each project.
Right.
Yeah.
And what, any influences, anyone in particular that you kind of, doff your cap to?
I'm always like jumping around, but I don't know, I have a particular fondness for like old like UK hardcore producers and stuff, like I guess Liam Howlett from The Prodigy. I'm kind of still obsessed with his first record. Really?
No.
Yeah.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that, no.
You've known him for 10 years?
He never mentioned.
Oh, this is good. We've got a scoop.
Never not.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I really like John Renbourn.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Nelson. But also, I mean, I'm into a lot of the music that my friends make, you know, and that's why it's kind of nice to, that's why it was, you know, Offprint, it was really nice to be able to present that stuff. And also it's nice occasionally when collaborations happen with those people. And
so it sounds like there's a sort of mutually supportive kind of network. It's like you're playing each other's music and playing with each other and so on. Is that true or not? Or are you ruthlessly ambitious and you're forging your own career?
I'm not sure. I think that's certainly something I'm really, really excited about. Like, is this sort of group of people and the kind of network and what possibilities it opens up, if you know what I mean. And something that I think we're able Top Nice is really like part of that, and because it's kind of regular and been going for a long time, it's become a bit of a, or at least I hope it's become a bit of a forum where people can meet. And if someone's got some like making some exciting music, we can have them come down and play and show everyone and see what it's like and
right.
That kind of thing. So, okay. Having Top Nice and now the label is kind of gives us more. I think we're all into that kind of collaboration and that.
Mm. What about you, Tom? Have you got what are your influences, if any? Or did you emerge sort of ready formed?
No, well, the first I suppose as a child, I think I've gone through quite distinct stages. I think the first thing I really grasped onto was Queen, and then I was really into all Eurodance in the 90s, and then I think quite quickly turned into metal when I was about 12.
Right,
and then
you don't look old enough to be to have emerged with Queen. This must have been a retro view of Queen.
It was
surely.
A retro view of Queen.
I was
going to
say,
And then it's gone into all kinds of things. I realise that the things I listen to continually for years anyway, I realise is Joni Mitchell, Kate Bush, and New Order.
Okay.
I think which surprised me when I realised that. But and Neil Young.
Oh, right.
I think those four things I will just always just listen to. And not necessarily...
Dare I ask you how old you are? Is this not a sort of... You don't have to say, if you'd rather not.
No, I'm 29 years old.
29. So, what about contemporary music? Anything?
Well, yeah,
everything
we're playing today is contemporary.
But that's your music. No, well, surprising choices. It's funny how it's always this sort of... People like Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, that goes back. Do you mean their old stuff or even now, what they're doing now?
Sometimes. Well, there's points in all of those people I mentioned. There's points where they've peaked on something that I'm particularly interested in. It's not necessarily consistent for everything. Well, Joni Mitchell, she's stopped singing, hasn't she? But I think it's quite interesting, what she's doing now. She's trying to... translate a lot of her songs into choreography, and that's sort of since she had like throat, she had some kind of cancer, didn't she?
Yeah.
And well, maybe since she's not well now. But anyway, the last few years she's been getting interested in choreography. And I like the way she has always been, and the same with Kate Bush, how they've been very flexible in the way they, very total.
Right.
In the way they approach their music, that it's not simply music, but it's really quite a full experience, both visually and orally and textually as well.
Mm. So is that what you'd hope to evolve into?
I think the way we work is much much more disparate, which has some focused times, but I think both of us are naturally quite collaborative, I think, in all our life. And so we may have some things that are very focused, but as people, we are always doing lots of different things, which I think it's not that that's makes it impossible to be, but I think maybe we're still developing what vision we could continue into.
Right.
I don't know.
So should we play something else? What else?
We can play, since we've been talking about Paul a bit.
This is Paul B. Davis.
Yeah. He's just put out a new record now. Oh, should we? Yeah, maybe we'll play a section. We're just going to take like a frag. If you can fade it in.
Is this on the laptop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We can pick up.
I'm ready when you are. I'm sort of bringing up the laptop.
we're playing a snippet of Slow House.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
So with fading that one out, it goes on for longer.
Yes, yeah, an hour still. Yeah.
An hour. Mm. Wow. Okay.
That one, it's a mixtape. So I don't know if Paul made the songs in the tape. It's kind of a style of DJing that he was playing around with a few years ago, and we used to have him come down and do these slow. He'd play like dance 12s, like house music, at 33 instead of 45, and then mix them very, very slowly. Sometimes he'd play three tracks on top of each other, because slowing them down, you kind of make so much space. And he would also play like across, like the backbone was like 4/4 kind of house and techno, but he would be able to like slot in pop music and hip hop, and and we all got.
So they become unique, I suppose. It's like a, you couldn't reproduce it, I suppose. I mean, is it become like a performance, or
it's really performative, and the songs, they kind of, the slowing down almost acts like a glue, and the mix is like the songs in the mix will be overlapping for minutes, you know, and and the sort of interaction between the two songs becomes really noticeable, and it's anyway something that we all got really excited about, and I think it's influenced some music that we've made even, but I think we wanted to play that to kind of contextualize maybe the kind of, or like I think it gives a sense of the kind of brain that Paul has, like he really picks up on something and then like develops it, follows the lead or whatever.
Yeah, so me saying that we are quite disparate in our things, Paul's a bit very focused. He does like, he just sort of has an idea, and so what we're going to play next is this, is sort of his current idea, which is this Mr. 100 character. Well, it's not a character, but like that, this project where he which is sort of fusing like soca, which is really high BPM, with techno, also making this a hybrid of the two.
Yeah.
And he put out, so the first one was on Top Nice, and he's put out two EPs on this label called Mixpack in New York. The most recent one just came out, and I'll play this song, and we can see where he's at now.
Okay, I'll just interject that you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with Guy Gormley and Tom Bush from Top Nice, the Top Nice Ensemble. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
And so this next one is Paul B. Davis.
Sorry,
it's on the laptop.
This one, yeah.
Okay, so it's Paul B. Davis, otherwise known as
Mr. 100. Sorry.
So yeah, that's Paul's like a tune off Paul's new release on Mixpack.
Right.
But I think I suppose this is in this tune you can hear like a third influence which we didn't mention before, which I guess is a kind of Steppers influence. Like we went together to Notting Hill Carnival and spent a long time at Abashanti, and Paul was just tuning into exactly what was going on, and is really good at working out those kind of things, like sonically how it fits together, and you can kind of hear some influence from that in that one as well.
Right. So should we go straight into this next vinyl?
Should I say what it is before we...
Sure.
Well, this is the test press for a tune called Don't Touch Me Now, which is a song I made with my friend Sam under the name Never.
Don't touch me now. The wall has fallen down, down. I could have been your captain. I could have been your sea. I could have been your island. You could have anchored next to me. Don't touch me now. The wall has fallen down, down. I've given in. My strength lost in the wind. Now it's all over, it's the end of the game. I can't be strong, so I'll lose you all the same. Don't touch me now. The wall has fallen down, down. Don't touch me now. The strength lost in the wind. We'll be right back.
Okay. So what was it? The previous track was you, Guy, and Sam...
Bardsley.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was this one we've just heard?
The one we've just heard is called Mucking Around by our friend Michael Omani.
Right.
Which is the newest release on Top Nice.
Okay.
It was about to be publicly released.
Yeah. And where are these available from? I mean, if anyone wants to seek out these tracks.
Well, we have a website which is topnice.org, which has you can find out where things are from there.
Okay.
We have a Bandcamp for music and
right.
And and also in shops in this new Michael's wanted a tape, so they'll only be in some shops, but the Enchante and Special Occasion ones are more widely available.
But if you just wanted to buy the music, it's probably easiest to go to the Bandcamp. Just type in Top Nice Bandcamp.
Okay. Sure, come on. So tell me now about this party, this select party, which is...
Our friend Hoagie has a flat in Peckham, and he's for the last 6 months he's been running something called Bin Bag Cinema. He's basically just started putting on really good events and screenings in his flat, in his living room.
Right.
And tonight it's like a musical program still in the living room that he's organised, and there's kind of 30 people coming to watch.
With Michael, who we just played. He's also performing this evening.
Okay. So do you play music to the films, or is it just purely film?
No, this is different. This is different. There's no films tonight. This one tonight is just a concert.
Okay.
A living room
in
concert.
In Bin Bag Cinema.
In Bin Bag Cinema, right, yeah. Well, all the space which it can be bin bags.
Will there be any visuals?
we left the TV at home, didn't we?
Yeah. But we've got some props.
Right.
We're having a flag. We've commissioned a flag, a rap flag.
Right, okay.
And we're going to have a fan.
And this is a purely exclusive event where nobody can come apart.
People could try, but there's only... Because there's literally room for 30 people in the living room.
Right.
If you're really keen, it might be possible to arrange something.
Yeah, it's sort of above the Asda. So if you climbed up at the back of the Asda, it's a funny network. It's a bit of a labyrinth, so it would be difficult to get in eventually. But possible, yeah.
Okay.
The roofs are quite flat there, so you could get
okay. But you'd have to know where it was. Follow you by your phone.
Yeah, above Asda's fairly specific.
Yeah, okay, that eliminates. I don't know how many Asdas there are in Peckham, but
only one.
Okay. Oh, is there? Oh, right. Oh, dear. Oh, my God. Okay. It's probably standing room only, is it? Okay. So are we going to play out with this? Is this a test pressing, this one?
Yeah, this is a test pressing of a new... it's the first record on a label that I've started with a guy called Rory Gleason, which is called Jolly Discs. Kind of focuses on techno, kind of English-sounding techno. Although this first record is slightly more experimental than that.
Okay.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM with Tom Bush and Guy Gormley from Top Nice. We've covered your elitist party, and we've got a couple of minutes left. So this is on your own label, Tom.
Well, yeah, this it's a project I've got, which is documenting the effect of the geological stimulus has on people. And so this is recorded in a place in Cornwall, West Penwith.
Oh, right.
Where, well, no, actually, it wasn't, actually, but...
okay. Sounds mysterious.
But it's... but the my interest is in that area here.
Right, okay.
In Cornwall.
Fine.
Which has a connection with John T. Gast, who made this song.
John T. Gast, and this is your own label? Does it have
this? It's called Men's Griefer, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks both for coming in.
Thank you very much. You.